taking this gospel out. Okay, a very warm welcome. If you're listening to this online, we do trust that you'll be blessed so that you too can be a blessing. Yeah, as I was saying, what do we believe anymore? Even when it comes to our Christian walk, I haven't written anything down, but I'm just trusting that at the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. There's something I want to bring to us, but I want you to know where I'm coming from first, and it will all make sense, hopefully, once I start to read scripture. I've been a Christian now for some 30-something years, and I came into the Christian faith into a free church, as you would call it. It was an AOG, it was Pentecostal, in the sense that it believed in the spiritual impartation that God given. It was charismatic, where it believed in the gifts of the Spirit. And I was this young man at the age of 30 who knew nothing except Christ and Him crucified. As you know, I'm dyslexic, and I'd never read a book from cover to cover up until that point. I struggled with reading. Everything seemed to blur into one. But when God got hold of me, I started to hear something and see something that I'd never heard or seen before, and it all made sense. And I couldn't wonder why, or I wondered why other people didn't see the simplicity of the gospel the way I did. I found it so simple, not complicated, until I went to church. The more I went to church, the more complicated it seemed to get. Is there anyone else? I remember Jenny saying to me some years ago, "Andrew, you make it sound so simple." And it is. True? It's simple. The gospel. She can't remember. She's only in her 40s and her memory is fading. Well, she did. She said, "You make it so simple." It is simple. The gospel is simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there are many subjects through scripture, and many subjects that Christians don't like to talk about. There are many subjects that some strains within the charismatic Pentecostal will lean more towards than the others. And then when we start looking at denominations, each denomination seems to have something in which it wants to major on, whether it's wearing a hat or whether it's wearing a suit, or whether it's shaking, shuddering, rattling and rolling. I've looked through scripture, and there's not much that I disagree with when it comes to the word that's being proclaimed. I just disagree at times with the way it's being portrayed. Now I want to get on to the subject that I want to speak about. And the reason I'm putting it into my words before I read scripture is because it's the subject of healing. Now, I've been in church, as I say, a long time, and I've listened to many ministers over the years, and I've witnessed things over the years, and I've heard people take the truth of God's word and manipulate it to make it sound better than what it actually is. And what I mean by that is they've distorted it, which means they've twisted it, and they've taken it out of context. And then I've heard others who have taken the same message out of context in a different way. So I want to say right at the beginning that I believe that God can heal. I do. I believe He can heal today. I believe that God can move in a way that we wouldn't expect Him to move, but we can dare to believe it. Just as a sideline, many of you would have heard the expressions where it says, "And they went out in the Spirit." And there used to be, in my young Christian walk, people that would be, they call it slain in the Spirit, and I couldn't understand this weird thing. And what used to surprise me was that, I'm not trying to belittle anybody here, you may have a different viewpoint, but what used to surprise me was when someone stood behind someone else, they seemed to fall. When no one was standing there, they didn't. And I used to wonder about this. So I sought God on it. And the Bible says this: you cannot stand in the presence of God. So can God cause somebody to just fall? Yes, He can. Can man sometimes be so desperate to have God touch them that, yes, He can. Can God heal the body? Can He heal the mind? Can He bring salvation? Salvation is by faith, but it's a gift of grace, isn't it? We can't earn it. We don't earn it. We receive it. Is that true? Does God still save people today?
Yes.
Yes. Does he still lavish shalom, peace? And that word peace is far bigger than what we think it is. When we think about peace, we might think we're in a quiet place, or there's a babbling brook, or there's a bird singing, and we think that's peaceful. Well, that word shalom, peace, is far bigger than that. It's nothing broken, nothing missing. It's the fullness of God. So can God bring that peace to us today? I'm glad you agree. So let's read a portion of scripture that really challenged me. Now, we was at prayer meeting, I don't know if that's last week or the week before, and Jeanette said something. She said, I was reading a portion of scripture and God showed me something, but she didn't tell us what he showed her, which I found disappointing. Should have shared with us. So I went and I read this portion of scripture. No, just in case. I went away and I read this portion of scripture. I said, okay, Lord, show me something. And he did, and I want to share it with you. It may be different to what he showed Jeanette. But the reason for saying that and for using names is that this word is alive and active and sharper than the two-edged sword. You know what it's like? You get familiar with a portion of scripture. You go, yeah, I know that. Well, read it again. Ooh, I didn't know that. Yes, I've seen that. Ooh, I hadn't seen that before. Let me stop talking, start reading. It's Luke 5, verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from all over the place to hear what this man had to say. They had come from every village in Galilee and from Judah and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. Just put that, lock that away in your mind somewhere. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, it was so big, they went up on the roof and they lowered his mat through the tiles. So they took the tiles away and they lowered this man into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Just get the picture. I'm assuming it would take four people, one on each corner, and they lowered this man down. It says in verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. He was talking to the paralyzed man. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this? Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But I want you to know, Jesus said, these are his words, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Does Jesus still forgive sins today? Yes, he does. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen a remarkable thing today. In Matthew 26, verse 28, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So what I want to say is this. The caveat is I believe God can still heal today. But one of the things, if I'm going to lay everything on the line and put my reputation out there, one of the things that I know is that I can't heal. And if I called myself a healer, then I'm lying. But God can heal. And the Bible says that he lives in me. So I can pray and God can heal, but I can't pray and I can't heal. Does that make sense? So when I look through the TV programs and I go to other churches and that, and someone stands up and says, I'm a healer, then I have to have a difference of opinion. But you might have a difference of opinion. And the reason I say that is because it's for you to journey on your journey. But the Bible says that God gives gifts. The Bible says that he's filled us all with a measure of faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. When Jesus saw this man being lowered down, what did he see? He saw faith. Not faith that they could heal, but faith that Jesus could heal. That's the faith that God wants us to have. Now, I know that as long as Mike is in the room, he will always check me. He will always come up afterwards and say, you know, you said the other week that heaven is where God is and hell is where he isn't. Well, God is everywhere all the time. Thanks, Mike. I'll put that one right at some point. But the presence of God to heal is not there. But he's right. So we need to weigh up and not just listen to what someone like myself says, but look at the truth of it. The thing is this, if I was a healer, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in the hospitals, emptying them. Wouldn't I? I wouldn't be praying for the twinge in the finger, and I'm not being rude here. I'd be praying for the cancer to be gone in Jesus' name. I wouldn't say in Jesus' name, I would say be gone, because I'm the healer. But I'm not, am I? And nor are you. But God can choose to use you as a vessel. He can choose to use you to say, just pray for that person. Ooh, do I have the faith? Have you got a mustard seed yet? Okay, I'll pray, you heal. That's the difference. One of the things that I've been very privileged and fortunate with is because I lacked in one area, and that's the academic, God spoke to me in a different way, and it was pictures and it was words and it was visions and dreams. And I remember at the age of 30, I heard a voice. Now, I don't know if I needed to go to an asylum or not, but I heard a voice. Let me just share with you. I'm going to take a bit longer than normal because I want to get this across, that the very thing I want to encourage us with. Now, I had a kind of a relationship with my mum which was not touchy-feely at all. My mum never came to a school to see my report. She never ever told me she loved me, yet the way she lived and the way she worked hard. When my father died at the age of 11, she worked and she grafted to give us food and clothes. Secondhand that they may be, but we never went hungry. And we had that relationship, and when I left home, I would go and visit my mum. And I would say, this is how it would go. Hello, mum, how are you? I'm okay. Do you need anything? No. See you next week. That was my relationship. So it was just the way it was. And my mum was in hospital and she was dying. And I was going to see her on the Sunday. And on the Saturday, I was in the supermarket car park. It's very mundane, isn't it? In the supermarket car park. And I was speaking to someone who worked at the hospital. They said to me, are you going to see your mum? I said, yeah, I'm going tomorrow. And I heard a voice say to me, go and see your mum today. And I turned around to see where that person was, and there was no one there. So I just went, and I walked in. I was with my son, Joel, but it wouldn't leave me. So I went to the hospital, and my mum was in her hospital bed, sleeping. And I said to my son, go and give Nan a kiss, and he kissed her. And I stood there in front of my mother's presence, bed. She was still alive, and I said this. I said, Mum, thank you for looking after me. Mum, I love you. 20 minutes later, she died. Now, don't tell me that weren't a God thing. That was. And the reason that I believe God did that for me was because I'd never said I loved her. You see, God speaks to us all differently. So I'm not going to have a ministry of saying, let's start listening to voices. But what I am saying is that God spoke to me in that way, and I heard him, and I had a choice. So when it comes to healing, I want us to throw away all the things that are negative and lay hold of the positive. The reason I say that is because I know that, like me, there are people who are infirm. They have illnesses. I take my glasses off and I can't see. I can't see. Do I believe God can heal me? Yes, I do. Do I get hung up if he doesn't? No, I don't. And this is what I want to bring out. So please have ears to hear what it is I'm trying to say, because I want to release us into something and speak about something that we don't like to speak about in church. And I say that because we're afraid that if I said we're going to pray for the sick and no one gets sick, then I'll look stupid. And if I say I'm going to pray for the sick, but you need to have faith, and you don't get healed, then you're going to feel demoralized because you think, well, that's because I haven't got enough faith. This is where I want to say, without faith, you cannot be saved, because faith says that I'm accepting the gift from God. So you have it, don't you? If you're a child of God, you have faith. You have the faith that we're talking about. So I want us to remove all the stigma against being unwell. Remove all the stigma against preaching God's goodness. And just look at the truth of what he says. And I hope I can get it across the way that I feel it myself. In Matthew 10 verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go amongst the Gentiles or enter any town in Samaria. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Those that have leprosy, drive out the demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. Do not take any gold or silver with you, because the labourer is worth its wages. Now, we could look at this portion of Scripture and say, there you go. It says there that we're to go out, we're to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Now, that's true. We can preach that message, and I will preach that message. And if you have leprosy, I'll pray that God heals you. Here's the difference. God heals you, doesn't he? So, can God heal you? Yes. Right, let's finish now and we'll go home. But that's the truth of it, isn't it? But there is a stigma, I believe. There is a message that's preached, and if someone gets upset, if they're listening to this and they're one of these churches, then they can ring me. But there are churches that will say, you are sick, Mike, you're in a wheelchair because you ain't got the faith to believe. That's a lie, isn't it? Okay, we're getting somewhere. That's a lie. So let's go on and see what it is I'm trying to say. In Acts 1 verse 4, on one occasion, while they were sitting and while they were eating with them, he gave them this command. Jesus, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible says this. When we accept that we're sinners, and Jesus gives us the gift of life, when we accept the work of the cross, which we couldn't earn, when we recognize that our sins are red, but through Christ they can be white, when we accept that, we accept it by faith. Lord, I accept what you've done for me on the cross. Lord, come and fill me. What do you think he fills you with? Doubt? Faith? But the Bible says he gives you a deposit of what? The Holy Spirit. He gives you a deposit of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are times that God will give you a greater measure of what he wants to give you. There are times where you will experience something that's different to the norm. When we talk about being born again, it's born of his Spirit. Once we were dead, now we're alive. That's what it is to be born again. So within this church, I want to suggest that we should believe by faith, receive by faith the grace gift that God has given us. Salvation, nothing broken, nothing missing. Now, there may be some of us that won't experience the fullness of that until we're in heaven. But there are, may I suggest, times that we can experience heaven here on earth. We can experience it. The Holy Spirit's there to encourage, to challenge, to direct, and to correct. The first time I experienced the Holy Spirit in my life was when I had a massive argument with my boss. And I got back in my truck and I was paralysed to the steering wheel. And I'm going, no, I'm not apologising. And this voice in my heart was speaking to me. Go put it right. Go put it right. I was being convicted, but I didn't know. I was being convicted by the measure of the Holy Spirit that I had within inside me. So yes, I went and put it right. So you have that same measure of the Holy Spirit inside of you. When we continue to look through God's word in Genesis, I want to read that portion of scripture again. I will make you into a great nation. When we look through Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's also upon you, isn't he? Because he's given you a deposit of the Holy Spirit. So the things that I can do, you can do. The things that I can read, you can read. Greater things, Jesus said, you will do. Does that mean that I'm going to go out and walk on water? I don't think so. Is it possible? Maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to try it. But because the Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, all those that believe in Christ Jesus as Saviour and Lord, God's given us a deposit. That means when there's more of us in the room, there's a greater measure of him in the room. That's the way I see it. I will make you into a great nation. See, God wants to build us. He doesn't want to tear us down. I will bless you. Now, this is an Old Testament portion of Scripture, but Scripture says don't throw the old out. Use the old and the new. Yes, there are things that we don't do anymore. We don't sacrifice animals. Do you know why? Because Christ became our sacrifice. We know that, don't we? So we don't need to say, yeah, but the Old Testament says we've got to slit the throat, we've got to splash the blood, because we've got the New Testament. But there are things that are said in the old that are repeated in the new. I will bless you is one of them. I will make your name great. I will, and you will be a blessing. So God wants to bless us so that we can bless others. Do you know what one of the frustrating things sometimes in ministry is? I'm glad you asked. Is that you can pray for someone else. So I can say, Lord, will you bless them? And he does. But he doesn't bless me in the same way. Lord, will you heal them? And he does, but he doesn't heal me. It's frustrating, isn't it? But God didn't say that if you do this for me, I'll make sure you get exactly the same. What he said was this. If you give of your time, your talents, your finances, I will give you a harvest of righteousness. What's that mean? Right standing with God. So the more we give, the more we do receive. But we receive it in a different way. That doesn't mean that when we believe for someone else that we won't receive. Because once we take our eyes off of us, years ago, there was a man, a friend of mine, who died. And just to give you a caveat, he's still dead. He wasn't raised to life. But he had died. And that voice that I heard say, go and see your mum, said this to me. The Lord spoke into my heart. When I say I heard a voice, it's like an internal voice. I'm not hearing voices. Don't worry. You don't need to put me in that asylum, not just yet. But you know what I mean when you've had it yourself. I believe the Lord is saying, he's speaking to me. He quickened something to you. And he said, you don't need to accept this. So I took that. I don't need to accept this. The man's dead. The only thing I can do is go and pray for him. But he's just died. Yeah, but God said you don't have to accept it. Now, God said you don't have to accept it, but he didn't say he was going to heal him. So just to share a part of my testimony with you, I rang his wife 20 minutes after he'd died. She's Christian. And I said, Alison, the Lord has just said to me, I don't need to accept this. She said, well, what's that mean? I said, I don't know. I think I need to go and pray for him. So I asked her permission to go and lay hands on a dead person. How stupid is that? What's the worst that could happen? Remains dead. What's the best that could happen? Get raised. Now, I haven't got a ministry for praying for dead people, so please, if something happens in your family, don't ring me because I've got that in ministry. But I know God has. That's the difference. It's not me, it's Christ in me. So I went down and I phoned up my pastor and he told me not to go. So I didn't go. But it wouldn't leave me. No one was allowed in the hospital at the time. No one could get an appointment, but I got an appointment. There was things that were happening and the devil was tormenting. Now please hear my heart on this. This lady had just lost her husband. She had two small children and she was heartbroken. And every time she picked up the Bible, she would open it. And it would say, and the man of God laid on the body, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, mouth to man. He did this twice and he came back to life. Closed the Bible. Opened the Bible. Same verse. Closed the Bible. Shared it with leadership. The devil's tormenting you. Susan says, let me try it with my Bible. She opens her Bible. And the man of God laid on the body, eyes to eyes. So what happened next was this foolish man walked in the door. And he said, what's wrong? And they said to this foolish man, we believe that the devil is tormenting us, because every time we open this portion of scripture, it says, and the man of God laid on the body, eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth, hands to hands, and he rose again. And this stupid man said, well, go and do it. Because if it's God, he'll be raised, and if it's the devil, they'll shut him up. And the reply was, well, who are we going to find with faith to do that? And that foolish man was me. And I said, I don't know. Surely someone will. And what do you think the voice said to me? Lord says, you go. So I went down and did what the Lord said, and Colin is still dead. But the point is this. I'm not a healer, but God is. And if I'd have refused to do what I felt God was saying, somebody who could have been raised from the dead wouldn't have been, because God uses us. So the point I'm making is this. I believe that God can heal, but I don't believe he always does. I believe he can heal, but I don't believe at times we actually always believe that. So for us as a church, I want to take us on this journey. And I want us to just reassess what the Bible says about us, about the faith that we have. And I want you to look at your ailments, and I want you to have a different outlook. I don't want you to come to church week after week thinking, you know, what have I done wrong because I'm still ill? I want you to have the same attitude as some of the men and women of the Bible have. And let me continue to read these scriptures that I have. Ephesians 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. And that's us. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, meaning me and you, all of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, in verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Before we were saved, but when we were sinners, God still loved us. It is by grace that you have been saved. That's a gift, undeserved merit, undeserved favour. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches and grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For, in verse 8, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. So the same faith that we need to believe for healing is the same faith we needed to believe for salvation. So we have that measure of faith within us. So what I want to say to us is this. It's okay to pray, Lord, would you do this for me? Lord, this arm don't work. Lord, I'd like it to. Would you heal me? It's okay to say that. And it's okay to go on to the next bit, but Lord, your will be done, not mine. But you see, if we don't ask, we don't get. Now, when we look through scripture, many of us at times could have a problem with the prophetic. So what do you mean? To proclaim is what it means for us. But if you think the prophetic is just when someone says, thus saith the Lord, this is going to happen in the future, then we can shut down. But when we take that word and we say, to proclaim God's goodness, oh yeah, I do that. Well, we prophesy then, don't we? So when we talk about healing, it's the same thing. We don't heal, but God does. If we don't have, because we don't ask. But there are times where God does it without even us asking it. Why? Because we're his children. So when we're in an atmosphere of worship, God might turn up and go, and you go, oh, do you know what? That twinge is gone. What should we do? Praise you, Lord. That twinge hasn't gone. Praise you, Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? It's through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So it isn't about you come into church or you listen to a preacher that says, if you give me £1,000, God will heal you. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. That's a lie, isn't it? But many of us Christians have been disillusioned by that type of preaching, so what we've done is we've shut off from healing. We've gone, nah, that's not right. That's not. But can God heal through his gracious gift and love for us? Yes, he can. Will he? I don't know. No one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. God prepared in advance a message for me to preach because it's a good word. It's a good work. God has given you things to do, things to say, but he's given you his love, his peace. Nothing broken, nothing missing. That's salvation. And I remember years ago when I was bringing a message, when I was with Alan Molyneux about salvation. And the picture was of a piece of paper that was rolled up and it was tied with a scarlet cord, a red ribbon. And I had this thought, because I'm poetic, and it was like, salvation is like this piece of paper. And when you look through it, it's a perfect circle. Nothing broken, nothing missing. The beginning, no end. It's fulfilled. And it's all covered by the blood of Christ. You see, we can truly say as Christians, this is maybe an oxymoron, we are healed. We are saved. We are whole. We just want our body to catch up with the faith that we have, don't we? In Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says this, surely, that's not someone's name, they're saying, this happened. Surely, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. This is Old Testament. But it's speaking about the Messiah, the coming Christ. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, nothing broken, nothing missing, was put on him, Jesus Christ. And by his wounds, we are healed. Now, some years ago, I would minister with a man who was a Christian, and I would say to this man, what can I pray for you? And he was dying of his illness. And he said, nothing, I'm not ill. And as a naive young Christian, I thought, well, then I can't pray, because there's nothing wrong with you. Now, when the blind man came up to Jesus, the blind man, Jesus says, what can I do for you? He didn't say, nothing, there's nothing wrong. He said, I want my sight, Lord. Yeah? So it's not wrong for us to say, Lord, I'm unwell. But yet there's a message out there that will say, if you do that, you don't have the faith to believe. Because you should name it as if it's not there. So illness, what illness? I'm not ill. I'm living my life as if it wasn't. Well, I can't see. I want my sight. So I want to suggest to us, it's okay to say to the Lord, Lord, if it's your plan and your purpose for me to walk, I want to walk. If it's your plan and purpose that I do things without pain, I want to be that person. It's okay. I want to suggest to us today, by his wounds, we are healed. Now, we know in eternity, the good news of this gospel message is There's no more sickness, no more pain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew 8, New Testament. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word. He healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. It's been done on the cross, so we have access to the Father. Because the curtain is no longer there. Yes? So we can. Will he? I don't know. Now, I'm not putting a caveat on this. I'm not trying to make this message so that if no one experiences God's grace in healing, then it's not my problem. I'm simply saying to us that if we go through life listening to what some people have said, that you have a lack of faith because you're unwell, I want to say it's not true. There are times where what we do will cause us to be unwell. If I start to chain smoke and I start to cough and splutter, why is that? Because I chain smoke. If I jump off of a cliff and there's no water and I break my legs, that's because I jumped off a cliff. So there are times where there is no reason why we are the way we are. But God still loves us. In Job 2 verse 9. Now you know the story of Job. You know that the enemy says, yeah, he only loves you because you hedge him. Because you love him. Because you prosper him. You start to inflict him and see what happens. Well, we are all like Job. Now his wife said to him, you are still maintaining your integrity. Now this man was suffering, wasn't he? Curse God and die, she says. There's an encouraging message. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. He understood the goodness of God, didn't he? He understood whether he was well fed or hungry. All is well with my soul. Saying in Job 1 verse 20 and 21, it says this. At this Job got up. At what? He just heard that his family had been destroyed. He just lost his sons and daughters. And this is what this man did. He got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Started to mourn. Then he fell on the ground in worship. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Now you've got to be committed to do that, haven't you? You've got to be a strong believer that my Redeemer lives. See, for us as Christians, if we are truly born again, spirit-filled Christians, if our old life has died and our new life is with Christ, then all things are possible. And that's the message I'm bringing today. All things are possible. But let me read my favourite portion of scripture from Daniel. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego replied to the king Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. They was just about to be thrown into a fiery furnace. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. Now, do you believe that God is able to deliver you today? Do you believe that God is able to save others today? Do you believe that God is able to heal today? Well, he is. But listen, what they say, this is wisdom for us. But even if he does not, we will not serve you or your gods. You see, when we come to church, we may come afflicted. We may come not feeling our best. But if we come and praise God just when he gives us the good things, then it's not a true relationship, is it? But I want to suggest to us today that we can say this to the Lord. Father, I praise you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Can our worship team come up? We will close with a hymn. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, I thank you that all things are possible because of the faith that you've given me. Lord, I thank you that I am who you've called me to be. Lord, you know there's parts of my body that don't work. I want to go forward, but I can't. I want to stand up, but it's difficult. Lord, there's a problem with my back. There's a problem with my eyesight. There's a problem with my hearing. Lord, you know that I'm getting older and weaker. But Father God, if it's your plan and your purpose for my life, according to that, Lord, manifest your presence in me and through me. And the reason I say that is to release us on a daily basis to say, Lord, I want to be who you want me to be. And if this infirmity is stopping me from doing it, then Lord, remove the infirmity. Simple as that. Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you if you heal me, and I'm going to serve you if you don't. There's a difference, isn't it? That's the message that we should be preaching. That all things are possible if we believe what we do believe, don't we? We have faith as small as a mustard seed, else we wouldn't be here in church. We have faith as small as a mustard seed, else you wouldn't be here listening to someone like me. It takes faith to believe that there's a heaven. Do you know what? It takes more faith to believe the Bible, to believe the non-biblical principles. It takes more faith to believe that we came from someone who, something that's like a blob of spit on the floor, and then it evolved into this magnificent specimen. It takes more faith to believe that than that there's a higher power called God that said, let it be. Yet we as Christians are called foolish. Well, God chose the foolish things to confound the wise. So let's be a little bit foolish these coming weeks. Let's dare to believe that God can. But even if he doesn't, let's still worship him. Does the message sound okay? Is it a truth that God can? He can. So as we close and we worship him, let's be a church that's willing to pray for someone else even while we're still unwell. Let's be a church that's willing to give to someone else even when we have lack. Let's be a church that would pray for forgiveness, even when we're in the right. Let's be a church that would stand upon Isaiah 61, for the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, upon you. And why is he? Because he's anointed you to proclaim good news. Shalom, peace, salvation, nothing broken, nothing missing. We live in it today. God's given us a promise. He's coming back for a victorious church. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, would you bless us so that we can be a blessing. Amen.